see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mothers cry cause the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Just hold. Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Welcome on our little hiatus I took for about 4 or 5 days, I guess, since last week. Welcome back. We're live tonight, and hopefully rest this week we'll be live. Rest this week, broadcast 4 to 6, Bible study 8 to 9. 3 hours a day, 2 hours I try to cover about what God's doing and what the world is doing and what Satan's up to, right down to the nitty-gritty. And then 1 hour at night, strictly about the Bible and issues within the Bible, because all 3 hours are combined, really, into one broadcast. It's not about religion. Not about, oh, I'm spiritual. You're spiritual. I hate when people say that. I mean, you know, if you're, you know, so what do you believe in? I'm very spiritual. Oh, okay. I'm not religious. Yeah, it's like, what? People got these terms all kinds of mixed up. You're too religious for me, or you're too spiritual, or you're not spiritual, or something. Man, you either follow Jesus or you don't. Man, come out with it. You know, people just dance around what the truth is. Satan exists. He's evil. He operates, controls the governments right now. Jesus Christ is the only way. It ain't about spiritual, religious, or I'm really a Pentecostal. I'm really charismatic. I'm really part of the Roman Catholic Church. I'm really, all I really like, this guy or whatever. What? Has that got anything to do with anything? It got nothing to do with nothing. Is there such a thing as nothing to do with nothing? Anyway, it has to do with Jesus. Man, say his name. Don't be afraid Everybody's afraid. Everybody's afraid. They're afraid. What's the biggest fear? Death. That's what it all stems to, is death. Everything else just kind of goes on with the time. Really. But death. That's what everybody's really afraid of. That's bottom line. Afraid of death. That's why they give you death education in school since your grade school. To make sure that you are afraid of death. They give it to you in schools. They always have. 1950s. Okay, kiddies, we're going to have a possible nuclear attack on America. Y'all die, burned to death. So we want to make sure it don't happen. So we're going to have a ring a bell. And before y'all go home, we're going to practice our bomb drill exercise. Ring goes ding-a-ling-a-ling. Everybody jumps under the desks. Uh-huh. That's really going to make it better. Oh, gosh. Hook, line, and sinker. We've taken it all the way down to our feet. Man, I tell you. It's a fear of death. Kiddies, we're going to go to the graveyard. We're going to use our ink or our pens, our lead pencils, and make a carving or race or an outline of your favorite headstone. Oh, I can't wait. If you're going to write an epitaph, all right, kiddies, you got 15 minutes to write your obituary. What would you say? Oh, wonderful. I can't wait to tell Mom about this. All through our education has always been about this. Always. Fear of death. There you are. Just like that person that you're getting that drawing from. Scraping over the tombstone with that piece of paper and getting the imprint indention to your paper. Bring it up and we'll put it on the board with your name on it. Oh, goody. Maybe I'll send it to Smithsonian. Maybe they give me some money for it. For modern art. Yeah. To make you afraid of death and dying. Well, I got news for them. When you got Jesus Christ on your side, there ain't no dying. If you don't have him, you're going to hell. Any questions? It's that simple. Done. Every choice we make in life has a direct consequence. Freemasons that take the blood oath, and you're under the control of the Freemasonry, and you've learned some of the secrets. You said, well, I don't like this anymore. I want out. You know, you ain't getting out. Not without getting scraped. You'll lose your job, lose contracts. They'll blackball you. Your so-called brothers, and they'll turn their back on you. So, matter of fact, if you're a third or third degree Mason, and you tell some of their secrets, because you want to help mankind about the royal secret, about sodomy and rape, and the Freemasons at the Jester level, and how they do it at the Pentagon and all that. Oh yeah, the royal secret. Man, they're gonna kill you. They will kill you before they let you do that at the highest level of Freemasonry. They will do it. Depends on how level you are and what secrets you know. They will kill you. You're a so-called brotherhood. Better than to never get involved. Keep putting it off. Gotta come to the lodge, Tom. Come to the lodge. I'd like to. I really would. But I got this to do, that to do. Make excuses. Don't go. Once you get inside, your goose is becoming to be cooked like that frog in the hot water. Cold water turning hot. Once you get your foot in, you're cursed. You got to decontaminate yourself when you come out, because demons will follow you. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to get into, is Jesus Christ God? And it's very important they prove that he's not. Very important now, for sure. Seventh-day Adventists and Worldwide Church of God and Herbert Armstrongism and Campbellites and Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and all these Muslims, They want to prove that Jesus was a great man and he was a prophet. That's very important. They prove that. It has everything to do with a fallen angel, Sanan de Manuel, as a false prophet. It all works together. Dedicate the broadcast and let's get moving here. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. We thank you, Father, that we can come together tonight. And we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We lift up this program and the Bible study, Lord, to your service. Lord, we pray for our loved ones and our brethren and our friends and those that have asked us to pray for them. Father, we pray for their help, their protection, their healing. Father, you know the ones we're thinking about. And Father, you know the ones that's asked to be prayed for. Lord, to visit them, to give them that comfort, that healing, and that protection. Lord, as the time here gets tough, we see it increasing every day that men will wax worse and worse as the veil thins, gets thinner. We pray, Lord, for protection against any interruptions. Lord, we may worship you and spread your word and gospel. We pray, Lord, for an awakening in this country, Lord, that watchmen will come out and preach the truth. Guide us tonight, Lord, in this study. In these things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Is Jesus Christ God? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. First of all, is that fight against fear? And it has a lot to do with Jesus Christ being God. Hebrews 2, 9 to 18. You know, in Denial of Death, Ernest Becker, he's an anthropologist and author, he argued that all of our anxieties and our fears are rooted in our dread of death. The death has got to be painful, and gosh, if it's, I'd rather just die silently in my bed, and that way I don't hurt none, or whatever. We attribute death with pain in some way. Becker was not a follower of Jesus Christ. And his studies could serve as a commentary on Hebrews 2. Tells us that in our natural state, we're subject to the fear of death throughout our life. If you're always afraid of death, you're afraid of living. We all know something about fear, don't we? Certainly, the men and women we read about in the Bible were subject to fear. From anxiety all the way to terrifying panic. Those who had strong faith, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or others, didn't show that fear. But there's never a need to panic. They'll never solve anything. Even in the face of death. The lack of panic in the Christians and the Colosseums before Constantine, and some after Constantine, before the killing finally stopped. Their lack of fear of death was converting people in the stands. That's why Satan brought Constantine in. You can't beat him, join him. That was the whole idea. Because people converting in the stands because of the lack of fear of death and the Christians that were being murdered in the Colosseum for sport. Well, it worked opposite. So they had to contain it by creating a religion that would pull in the Christians, and they just called it Christianity. Okay. And the Arabs that refused to get into Christianity or Roman Catholicism, about 300 years later, over a period of time, they said, this isn't working. They're not converting to Christianity or Roman Catholicism, so, okay, no problem. We'll just invent, create a religion for them. So they used the Arab church fathers to spread the news for many, many centuries, for several centuries, on a regular basis. Prophets saying there's a Messiah coming to the Bedouins and the Arabs, the descendants of Ishmael, by the way. That's how they got control of the descendants of Ishmael. Here he comes, called Mohammed, trained by Roman Catholics. Mohammed, trained by Roman Catholics, from being 6 years old to 25 years old. His mother, interestingly enough, died when he was 6 years old. What's 6 years old? That's out of the mother's matrix. Interesting timing, don't you think? Makes you wonder. Remember, Satan's in control here. 6 years old. Mother dies. So what's he needing? He's needing that mother figure, isn't he? Missing. He's raised by his uncle. He dies. Somebody else took over. 6 years old to 25 years old. Simultaneously, thereabouts, a young, wealthy Arab lady named Khadija is raised, and her husband dies, she's a widow, is raised in a convent to 45 years, 40 years old. And guess who they set the range of marriage with? Muhammad the Prophet at 25 and Khadija at 40. Little mother complex going on here, you see. It's not accidental. Satan works trying to copy everything. The fear of death. No need to panic. Even in the face of death. The Lord experienced death and he conquered it. Satan tried to get him pulled away by temptations in the desert he had to go through, what we went in times 100, times 1,000. Jesus went through everything we could ever think of going, up close and personal. Whoever the author of Hebrews was, this indicates that Paul was, or at least he did 3/4 of it. Nobody knows 100% sure who did Hebrews. But the writings really look like it's from Paul. Nevertheless, Hebrews tells us that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. What would that be? That he had a physical body, flesh and blood. That's lower than the angels. That he, by the grace of God, would taste death for everyone. Hebrews 2 verse 9. He had to be made into physical to taste death because the wages of sin is death. People were prepared for the coming Messiah, innocent Lamb of God, by a sacrifice of animals, who didn't do a thing to anybody, but had to die once a year in the families to cover the sins for that year, in anticipation of the coming Messiah. That he would then take the place of all the lambs. He would then take the place of all the humans. He took the sins of everybody, and even the innocents. And by his death, Christ defeated him who had the power of death, that is the devil, granting us our release from the fear of death. granting us our release from the fear of death. Yea, though I shall walk through the shadow. You got it? I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. So, are you victimized by your fears? Now, some people can take this too far. You say, like, huh? What does that mean? You ever watch the YouTubes, the old Southern boys from Alabama, Mississippi, North Carolina? You ever see those YouTubes where they say, hey, y'all, watch this? Sometimes that's the last thing you ever see of them. That's taking a little too far. Or crossing the Grand Canyon on a 2-inch wire. Or skiing down the middle of this half a mile or mile down this face of this mountain. That's not a lack of fear. This is plain dumb. Or jumping out of a plane, like flying like Superman, and you smack dab right pancake right into a face of a cliff. That's dumb. Family, what's wrong, people? All the way to back in the hills of Kentucky, and they got that darn snake that they're playing with, jumping around with a tambourine. Family, what's going on here? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's taking it a little too far. So are you victimized by your fears? Don't mean you jump in the fire to see if it's hot. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's Old Testament, Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. King James Bible says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Habershon said, and I quote, when I fear, my faith will fail. Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. If you believe that Jesus lives, you don't need to fear death. Death sells. Freeze-dried food, ammunition, camping tents, and joining a patriotic party or whatever. Is Jesus God? Lay the groundwork. Let's move on. Jesus showed his glory as he really is. Couldn't walk around like that all the time. You'll change if you're born again and you go to heaven. Your body won't look the same anymore. One day, Jesus showed his glory to the three disciples, his glory as the only begotten Son of God. What's a woman's glory on earth? The hair. So, if that's a woman's glory, belongs to a woman, is her hair. Why do you think they're cutting their hair and halfway shaved on one side and long on the other? It's about a male, female, androgynous creature. Wiccan gets into it. It's why. They don't know this. A lot of people don't know this. Now, the ones deep into Wiccan, deep into Luciferian worship, know that the androgyny, that the new hairstyle was shaped, cut the hair to the right, like one of Paris Island boot camp. And then the other side is long. Man, woman. Some of them don't understand that. They do not understand that. You think it's a style thing. It's way beyond that. but there is more to it. If a woman's glory is a long hair, what's a man? It's not long hair. Okay? You follow me here? So what does Jesus look like? Does he have long hair, blue-eyed, Caucasian? Uh-uh. No, he don't. He's Arab-looking. Bronze skin, short hair. Men had short hair, not long hair. So not Emmanuel, the fallen angel. Oh, he got long hair. Looks a little bit like a woman. Looks a little bit like the Jesus we think of Jesus in their portraits. And that ain't Jesus. It's the biggest deception that's ever hit this world is going to show its face. Jesus had not long hair. Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a mountain. He knelt down to pray. Disciples did also. Then something strange happened. The face of Jesus began to shine. Shine as bright as the sun did. Clothes began to shine also. We got some quantum physics going on here. A little chemistry happening within the body. Frequency changing, whatever you want to call it. Something to do some serious changing. He was so bright the disciples could hardly even look at him. There were once two men with Jesus. Where'd they come from? Oh, beam me down, Scotty. No. They were shining bright also. These two men were Moses and Elijah. Now that should strike up some questions. See, Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. He hadn't fulfilled his mission. So, what happened to the soul sleep issue going on here? Did God just wake him up from his soul sleeping? Say, hey, wakey, wakey. Need you to wake up now. How about that? Where's the soul sleep now fit? Wouldn't Moses and Elijah be asleep in their soul? If you had soul sleep. That's where the soul goes to sleep. And the spirit goes to be God. The body just goes away. And then they believe in the final days, God wakes up. So in other words, I'm a murderer, rapist, whatever, a criminal. And after I die, whether capital punishment, I'm electrocuted, or I just get old and die, still a sinner. Then when I die, I just go to sleep, like suspended animation. And then God wakes you up, wakey, wakey, it's time for judgment. Okay, you wake up and he says, you've been evil, you've been mean, you've done this, done that, and I'm going to commit you to death. So you sent to hell and you just annihilate. And there's no punishment. None. You just sleep it off. Like a bad drunk or something. And wake up. Oh, am I sober yet? People don't realize what they're saying when they believe in soul sleep. No, sir. No. When you die, you go to heaven or you go to hell. Torment until the day that your judgment comes, at the great white throne judgment. You're pulled out of hell, judged on that day, whenever it is, and sent back to whatever permanent judgment that it is. People have a hard time with that. But right here, there's no soul sleeping, man. Because Elijah and Moses died. He's back to life. Elijah didn't die like Enoch. He's still both together. So they end up in the same place in Abraham's bosom. Not yet in heaven because Jesus hadn't ascended. Abraham's bosom was still operating. So he pulled them out of Abraham's bosom, which was a chasm across from hell. Sheol, Guiana, whatever you want to call it. And the ones in Guiana, in hell, could see those in Abraham's bosom across the gulf. I mean, that got to be hell in itself. Until Jesus died on the cross. He went to Abraham's bosom, preached to the Old Testament saints, Elijah and Moses, and vacated, canceled out, got rid of Abraham's bosom and moved it to heaven. In a big move. During the 3 days he is gone from us, from mankind, and came back, saw Mary, and you know the rest of the story. Abraham's bosom was closed down. All the Old Testament saints were moved to heaven. So, all at once, the two men with Jesus were shining bright also. Two men were Moses and Elijah. They were talking with Jesus, and then God said, spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Well, you know that. You know that kind of shook them up. Like, where'd they come from? You know that Star Trek was created by Freemason Roddenberry. The idea for Freemasonry is to destroy Christianity. Christianity was created to pull the Christians in. Christians are separate from Christianity, actually. So you pull them in, then destroy Christianity, you got them ready for the New Age movement. Oh, they're slick. Oh, they are slick. But here's the point. Star Trek has all these fancy gizmos and take me to your leader stuff going on and tricorder and beam me up, Scotty, with whatever particle, this, that, and the other machine and all that. Then you had Q, that godly-like human character on Star Trek. All the series were based on the humanistic and Freemasonry idea of the end times. So now you can see how they snuck in that particle disassembler. Beam me up, Scotty machine you got. That explains, they think, the Bible miracles was technology. That's why they have that, so to explain how it was that people walked through walls or not be seen and so forth. Invisible cloaks, technology. That Satan can do whatever God can, but using technology, I can do better, he says. Now you see where it's coming from? Disciples never forgot about that scene, and many years later in Peter, 2 Peter 1:16 to 18, For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And his voice which came from heaven we heard, and we were with him in the holy mount. They heard that voice audibly. So the Holy Spirit, God, and the Son were operating still full mode. Yeah. So, is Jesus Christ God? Well, there's some people think of Christ as a great man and a marvelous teacher, and others speak of him as a great leader who founded a new religion. Actually, Protestantism was created by the Vatican. That's another story. To make the chaos, to bring the order, the Vatican used Martin Luther to create a religion called Protestantism. Martin Luther was no hero. Jesus himself declared that he was God. What did he say in John 10:30? John 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. Now, what is about that people don't understand? That's pretty clear. While I'm thinking about it, the reason that they're driving to show that Jesus Christ was not God, multiple reasons, but one particular, when the Sananda Manuel, the fallen angel, comes in, looking like Jesus we think should be, comes in a stupid-looking spacecraft, holograms, and all this other mess, he can't be coming as God. He's got to come as ascended master or fallen angel, as an alien or whatever. And he ascends. So Enoch and Elijah never ascended to heaven. They were taken. To ascend means I can send myself up when I want to. I have the power. Well, only God's got that power. So God's going to take them, but the individual cannot ascend on his own. I cannot ascend to my evolutionary my new being, my new consciousness, or whatever. That's why they call them ascended masters. Jesus ascended because he was God incarnated. He was God in the flesh. But mankind can't do that. Fallen angels can't do that. They can't get back to third heaven. And they blocked off. That's why they call it ascended masters. It's a lie. The Jews heard about Jesus, that he was one of them with the Father. They took up stones to kill him for it. Jesus said to them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews said, for good work we stone you not, thee not, but for blasphemy, and because our being a man maketh ourselves God. I'm just getting started on this. I mean, I've got so many quotes and things here, verses. How people can say he didn't say he was God, I just don't know. So in John 10:33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being man, makest thyself God. Man, how more clear can you get on that? 10:33 and 10:34. And John 10:36, say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent unto the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If Jesus was not really God, it'd been really bad for him to have claimed to be God. He'd been a liar and deceiver, could not even be called a good man. And that would eventually come out now, wouldn't it? No one's going to die for a lie. Not even a terrorist, they don't die for a lie. They're brainwashed and thinking what they're doing is real and what they're doing is good. They're brainwashed. Nobody's going to die for a lie. Disciples turned away from Jesus the night he's going to be crucified or who was taken. They turned away from him after seeing all these miracles. When they saw him, he came back from the dead. Ooh, things changed. Ooh, Martha, things changed a lot, didn't it? You know, at the time, the disciples were preaching the word, even after. And they were all killed in one way or another. You know, they said, okay, we lied. We lied. Honestly, we lied. They didn't do that. They died with Jesus' words in their mouth because they were not afraid of death. Bingo. So does the Bible teach that Jesus is God? It sure does. John 1:1, I use this quite frequently as a series. It pretty much slam dunks it. In the beginning was the Word. What's the Word of God? Name it. Give me a name. What is it? It's King James Bible. Well, no, I was saved by NIV. Really? Well, NIV was 1978. So what about 1977? Cancels that out. And you do the same for every single Bible right up to 1901. And just scratch them all off the mark. Gone. Then that goes all the way back to 1611. King James Bible. Only two Bibles ever been written in the history of man. Only two. From the collection of works from Antioch, Textus Receptus, Masoretic Text, which the King James translators used in 1604, 1611. And the second Bible was the collected works in of the same works collected in Antioch, Syria, collected in Alexandria, Egypt, by Origen in the 3rd century. Corrupted his versions of it and made the Alexandrian Library Bible given to the Vatican, who put it in Latin so nobody could read it. Long story short. That's why Erasmus and Wycliffe and Tyndale was on their bad list, because they translated to English. Long story short. Latin, and I'm not going to go over that. I get caught in the rabbit trail. But see, the King James Bible is completely separate from all this other. The Word of God was hidden throughout the Dark Ages until it was ready to be accepted. In the beginning was the Word. So if the King James Bible is the true Word of God, which it is, that means the King James Bible, being the true Word of God, was here from the beginning. It makes it the oldest book ever in history. They're getting ready to open up the Vatican Library, right? I wouldn't give them 2 cents to see the junk they got in there. I'm going to tell you right now. It's all history. Oh, really nice. Well, wow. And you get some stuff like, I didn't know that. Wow, I didn't know that. Has nothing to do with salvation. They're going to find, you watch, mark my words, they're going to find some document, some copper, gold, and trimmed old document, blow the dust off of it. Look what we found. They will come up with, this is the real truth we found in the deep, dark dungeons of the Vatican. Blah, blah, blah. And they will come out with some kind of change to the Bible. A newfound revelation from some deep, dark corner of the library, because they've opened it up now, whatever. It's coming. It's coming. It's all nonsense. The Book of Urantia, Alexandrian Library, the Alexandrian something another Bible, and there's like 3 or 4 other Sinaiticus, and I don't know, whatever else. They're all junk. It's all junk. The Apocrypha, folk tales, history put together by Origen, Septuagint. Now, please, spare me. Mother Goose rhymes rather do. Yes, they're entertaining. But the King James Bible is the only true Word of God, and they can't prove otherwise, and they're trying awful hard to. Well, it's coming, though. Because that Bible has power, and it goes back to the beginning. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word, Jesus, and the Word are the same. His Word, he's not going to change his Word. And the Word was God. Then you go to John 1:14, and he even quantifies it even more. And the Word was made flesh. Oh, bingo. You mean paper was made flesh? You see? No, Jesus was. A little lower than the angels, I said a little while ago. And he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. They just did, didn't they? Jesus showed his glory. and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And they've removed the word begotten from a lot of the other Bibles. Because that begotten means he came from a woman. In other words, Jesus had an umbilical cord. He had to be fed. I bet he got spanked a couple of times, maybe. Who knows? He's a baby. He tripped. He fell. He skinned his knee. More than likely. He came in the usual way. Made a little lower than the angels. But he's full of grace and truth. In Hebrews 1:8, Hebrews and Romans is going to use in this study. Hebrews and Romans, yeah. Hebrews, we're going to do part two tomorrow. I want to cover a lot about this. Hebrews 1, verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know what the Godhead is? The fullness of the Godhead is the Trinity. Bodily. Jesus. I don't see the word Trinity in the Bible. Well, there, Cletus. I don't see the word Bible in the Bible neither. But it's there. But the Godhead, when you start saying we shall make him an iron, he's talking about the Trinity. The Godhead includes all three of them. John 14:9. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Ooh. And thou, how thou sayest, thou then showest the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. See, the Spirit of the Father could not be in Jesus if Jesus was a sinner. It wasn't going to happen because nobody was there for Jesus to take him as their Savior. He was the Savior. So there was nobody for him to save him. So he lived a perfect life. We didn't need it. Elijah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. They were righteous men. But Jesus, they had a whole different ballgame. His supernatural turned natural and dwell on this earth for a short time. Long story short. And Jesus permitted his disciples to worship him as God. John the Baptist didn't. He said, okay, my time's over. Man, don't look at me anymore. Right there is the man. My time's over. Bye-bye. He's gone. He didn't say, now, wait a minute, Jesus, ain't right, man. This ain't right. I've been doing this for longer than you have. Here you come along. He didn't do that. John the Baptist knew. Time for him to go. His time had come. He was a righteous man. What did he do today? Now, wait a minute. I put in all this time, and you're going to run me out of this? No, I ain't going to do it. That's what they do today. John 14:9. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus permitted also to worship him as God. He appeared to Thomas, stubborn as Thomas was. Remember, he didn't believe it at first, but he still came to Thomas to give him a chance. His resurrection, Thomas worshipped him, saying, "My Lord, my God." John 20, verse 28. Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus didn't say to him, no, don't call me God. I'm just a servant. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." He didn't correct him. He said, "Okay, I am your Lord and I am your God." How about Revelation 22:13? "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last," he says in Revelation 22:13. That's pretty slam dunk. He's always been. He's coming to take his throne. And in John 5, 22 to 23. "For the Father judged no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. This is the mystery of the Trinity, that people try to make sense of, and that makes no sense, because you can't make sense of something your mind can't understand. The mind cannot understand the Trinity. It's out of our dimensional capacity. It's out of our dimensional capacity to understand the supernatural in our natural state." Ooh, hope you got that. I could say that again the same way ever. In our natural state as we are today, flesh, we cannot understand the supernatural. No more than an earthworm can meet you for lunch somewhere and be a little slow at it. Or a turtle would meet you for lunch somewhere and whatever. You can't talk to a turtle or an earthworm because they don't have the dimensional capacity to understand, but they're still living. We as humans don't have dimensional capacity to understand the mind of God. That shouldn't be a discussion point. That should be pretty obvious. To understand the fullness of God, only thing I can compare it to would be like trying to pour the ocean into a pint cup. It's not going to fit. Our minds are the pint cup. So, no way. Yeah, we try to make it match. Yes, Jesus is God. He's always been one with the Father. He's also a man. He's sometimes called the God-man. Very good name for him because he's truly God and truly man. He lived on this earth as a man. Lord Jesus understands us perfectly because he came down here with us to live among us. He knows what it is to be tempted, to be understood, to be hated, to be poor, to be hungry, to suffer persecution. He's a man. He knows what it's like when we suffer, when we're tempted. Because he's God. He's wonderfully able to help us when we call on him. He's the God-man. And there's power in the name of Jesus. That's why they're trying to change it to Yeshua, Yahuwah, and every combination thereof. Sananda, Yahuwah, Maitreya, Timbuktu, Amrafudya, whatever, is all baloney. Jesus is a powerful name. It scares the dickens out of them. Because of who Jesus is and what he's done, there's a great power in his name that they want to hide from. It's powerful in the salvation of all men. That includes women, of course. In our prayers, warfare against Satan, you're going to need it. If you're still here, when they release the Metropolitans, when you're still here, they release the Nephilim. On that day, some of you know what I'm talking about. Only thing that's going to help you is the name of Jesus. And it won't be some 25-millimeter man-packed weapon. Ain't going to work. Oh, they know it's coming. They know it's coming. The military does and all that. But their machines aren't going to work. God won't let it. Only thing that's going to work is Jesus Christ. That's it. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No fear of death. No fear of death. You call upon the name of Jesus. I have more to say about that tomorrow. We're coming to the end here, but part two definitely tomorrow. Jesus was not born of Adam, was he? Carried through the ages down to Noah, back to all the way down through to David, to Mary. No. His father was God. God through the Holy Spirit. But because his mother was Mary, he was heir to the throne of David by humankind, bloodline. But he's not born of the bloodline of Adam, different DNA. Jesus was all man, flesh and blood, but sinless. Otherwise, he would have been born in a male bloodline and of Adam. He had that sin nature. And God's Holy Spirit could not dwell in that sinful flesh body. Without Jesus, then, there's no salvation. So Satan wants to copy the same by incarnating himself into the Antichrist. You see what's going on here? That's why they want transhumanism. Copper-based DNA. The old rendition of Jesus, Sananda Manuel, they believe was the bloodline for all our leaders today. That's why the Knights Templar is protecting that bloodline. They believe him to be the Savior. And the tribe of Dan and the synagogue of Satan is the true bloodline. That's where the fake ark coming up and the fake shroud. Ron Wyatt, who was used by Satan. They're going to find blood, dried blood, all of a sudden, that's 2,000 years old, that's going to match the blood DNA of the Antichrist. Both the shroud and the alleged ark of the covenant. That's the ace in the hole they're going to use. You watch. The shroud was being set up, and the shroud's a proven fraud. Ark of the Covenant was placed there. Fallen angels knew about it. Ron White was led to it. Whether he did by his own meddling, or he was used by the fallen angels and just was just a pawn. But God don't need all that to show. He's going to come in the clouds. You don't need the ark with dried blood from you don't know where. God's not dependent on that. But the Antichrist is. His bloodline will be Sanan Emmanuel. You watch. That's yet to come. I just think that Ron Wyatt meant well, but he was used by the fallen angels to find that ark in that trash dump. I think he was channeled. That's another story. One thing for sure, Ark of the Covenant is in heaven. If they have an Ark of the Covenant, it's a fake one. There's nobody down here that could even touch the Ark of the Covenant. The last one that could, he's taken up, but he's coming back. It was Jesus. Think about it for a minute. God's not going to leave the Ark of the Covenant down here. Nobody can touch it. Be messed with. That's not going to happen. Supernaturally, he'd bring it up there to heaven. People forget about that. If you touched it back then, you died. After the destruction of Jerusalem, somewhere along there, God brought to heaven. Tomorrow, part two of Is Jesus God? Got a lot more to cover. That's why I want to do it again. And give you more ammunition, because they're going to come back and try to get you to try to get people to realize, or try to get them to believe, that Jesus is not God, but a good man, a prophet, so forth. They can make up why they want to. It doesn't matter. They'll be accountable for it. But the Bible, as it is just inundated with verses to prove that Jesus was God, incarnated human flesh. I got plenty more. Tonight's just preliminary. And I look forward to tomorrow night to give you part two. Oh, heck, might even be part three. Going to Wednesday, who knows? This is important to cover, because it's crucial for them, for the New Age, for the Secret Society members, to get you to believe that Jesus was not God. I explain tomorrow who they're going to say Jesus was of Nazareth, who Jesus really was, their rendition of it. Isaiah 14:12, Luke 10:18, and Revelation 22:16 plays a lot in what their rendition of Jesus Christ is, as opposed to Sanan Emmanuel. Oh, it's going to get sticky. So family, let's close in prayer, and then tomorrow chapter 2. If there's any questions left open tonight, let me know. And I'll clarify them first thing tomorrow. If there's any. So thank you all for coming. And we had a nice crowd tonight. Thank you for showing up. Lord, we thank you tonight, Father, for the Bible study. Lord, lead us tomorrow. Lead us tomorrow in our broadcast and our Bible studies, Father, and give us that wisdom, discernment to see through the deceptions. Father, we call upon you to bless our families, heal them, protect them. Lord, and guide us in the right path that we can lead others to Jesus. Give us that patience, Lord. We're working on it. I'm working on it, Lord. I need that patience. It's not easy. But to keep me focused, Lord, that I render up my life to you. Father, give us wisdom and discernment for the next Bible studies, that, Father, we can teach others. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, I'm going to end it now. And tomorrow, oh, by the way, for sure, let y'all know that John Kirkler still plays our broadcast, and he's living his dream. Apparently, it's working out, and I've been talking to y'all about not sponsors, but helping him. He plays my broadcast and Bible studies. That's it. For him, though, he's got like three towers and expanding his Broadcasting. He's got sponsors. He does. Highportradio.net, highportradio.net. And they've got sponsors there that you can find and use them up in New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. And I heard not long ago that he's doing really well. I don't know exactly what that means, but he thanked us, and I thank you all for helping him, those that you have. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. My Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. Watchman for Jesus. Watchmanforjesus.com. And I'm your watchman. Be me. So, y'all have a good night. God bless y'all, and thank y'all for showing up. And we'll end it with Kerry Colby, Joby, one of my favorite songs. Have a good night. God bless y'all now. See you tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Breaking through.